So, wow, that's a story, isn't it? I mean, wow. Can you just imagine how Peter and James and John actually felt when that happened? Now, today, Meredith read us the story from the Gospel of Mark, but Luke's Gospel actually records a little bit more information, which I'll refer to as we reflect together. Mark's Gospel tends to be more action-oriented, a bit like Peter, who is believed to be the source of the material. So, throughout this whole year, as we're in the Gospel of Mark, you'll hear a lot of words like, and then, or immediately after that, or things like that. Because Peter is a doer, he's a man of action. But Luke's Gospel actually tells us that Peter and James and John were very sleepy. Probably from that long hike up that big mountain. And so there they are, together on the mountainside, resting, and then, wow, they are suddenly awake, and Jesus is glowing and shiny. Whoa, indeed, exactly. And then, just as suddenly, Moses and Elijah appear. Wow, again. And then Jesus starts talking to Moses and Elijah. Luke tells us that they're having a really serious discussion, talking about Jesus's departure, which he's going to bring into fulfillment in Jerusalem. Now, I have to say, Moses and Elijah aren't just like random guys picked out of the Old Testament. Biblical scholars know that Moses, for the Jews, represents the law. As it was given on the mountain, the Ten Commandments. And Elijah is considered the greatest of the prophets. This wouldn't be lost on those who early on were reading this first of the Gospels to be written. Now, back to the wow. The disciples were, for lack of any really better word, gobsmacked, shocked, startled, confused, frightened. In complete and utter awe. And Peter, oh, bless his soul, he just kind of runs at the mouth. Oh, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three shelters for you, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Okay, that might be a different kind of wow, like, wow, that was a really stupid thing to say. I mean, clearly, Peter related this story to Mark, and he said, there's that little parenthesis in there. He didn't know what he was saying. He was so frightened. But when it comes down to it, I know from personal experience that those of us who like to do stuff also sometimes are kind of talkative. And when we're faced with something that we don't actually really understand, something that like really takes us out of our comfort zones, we will run at the mouth. And we might say the very first thing that pops into our mind. Now, if it were me, I might say something equally silly. Ah, teacher, it's really good that we're here with you. You know, it's kind of cold here on this mountain. Why don't I knit the three of you a woolly cardigans? That'll keep us all warm. Maybe our friends back there on the AV team, they might want to put together a live feed so it can be broadcast everywhere. Our lovely musicians, they'd want to sing a song. And maybe some of our really good cooks would say, oh, I'll make a lamb biryani. Because the reality is that when we are faced with a wow, that is something completely outside our own understanding. We want to kind of bring it down to the tangible. And above everything else, we want to do something, preferably something that we're good at. That thought of lamb biryani, that reminds me actually of another passage in scripture. Jesus was visiting some friends, and there were two sisters. This story is also recorded in Luke's Gospel in chapter 10. Martha is faced with having the great teacher and holy man who happens to be their family friend. He's going to be a guest at the house. And so, what's she focused on? full-on hospitality. I am going to make the greatest meal, something worthy to honor him because he's been speaking and preaching and doing miracles. I got to make it really good. But we read in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to him. Did you catch that? She listened to him. She listened to what he said. Well, Martha, as I would certainly do, went to complain to Jesus at some point and said, "Hey, come on, aren't you going to make her help me?" And Jesus told her that her sister Mary had chosen the right thing. It's kind of a subtle way of saying, you should listen to me too. But let's get back to our story here just now. Peter blurted out some nonsense about wanting to build shelters, and then God's voice.
"This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him."
Are you awake again? Listen to him. There isn't anything subtle about that, because Peter clearly needed to hear a direct message. I do too. Maybe some of you do. But it really is actually that simple. Wow. And then listen. Now, just one note about that importance and rarity of God's audible voice. It does happen two other times that are recorded in the Gospels. Does anybody else remember when did you hear God's voice saying, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased"? Does anybody remember when that was? Shout it out. Baptism, that's right, it happened then. And then later in John 12, we hear a story about Jesus being with his disciples. There's a bunch of stuff that has happened. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. He's been anointed by Mary. He's been coming to Jerusalem as a king on a donkey, hailed with hosannas and palms. And he predicts his death, and he says that the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And he prays, "Father, glorify your name." And the voice says, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Now, last week, the adults and the teens listened to the opening verses of the Gospel of John. And that last verse that was read also seems to allude to this event. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And in Peter's first letter, he also says in the first chapter in verse 18, we ourselves heard the voice when it came down from heaven while we were there with him on the mountain. Now these days, the most reliable place to hear the voice of God is by reading the Bible, the Word of God, and paying special attention to the words of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. It's one of the reasons that we almost always, maybe always, have a gospel reading on a Sunday morning service. Now today, we started that service by giving some attention to the wow. That was our first block of worship. Just sitting with the awesomeness of God, who reigns from heaven above with wisdom and power and love, because our God is an awesome God. And then we listened to him by hearing the gospel read. And now we will have another chance to respond. First with a song, recognizing that wow again, and then with a statement of faith. That response of faith is something that you'll also find in every service. And later, when you leave church, you go to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ, and you can serve him by doing something, like maybe making a good meal to share at the next church lunch. Lamb biryani, yes, please. Worshiping God through a song at home. Not even, outside of church. You're allowed to do that, Maybe setting up a really good AV system that makes a live feed go smoothly. Maybe it's knitting a sweater. Or maybe it's like Peter, let him build his shelter for someone who needs it. That's the takeaway. What do we do with this? We remember when we come into the presence of God, the first response is wow. And then listen. And then and only then we can do things for the glory of God as a response of faith. Now the music team is now going to give us an opportunity to remember to look at Jesus first and give us an opportunity to rest one more time in that wow.